Thank you for being patient with me. If there are two things that makes my voice immediately after a little difficult, one is physical exercise, lots of it. The other one is crying. And I don't know why for the last 2 weeks that's been just how I've responded to the presence of the Lord. So thank you for being patient with that. This morning I want to talk with you for a few moments about God's move. God's move. Geraldine, when Geraldine was 10 years old, she and her dad started out to church one Sunday night, as in fact, if I remember the story correctly. And they had pulled out of the road, and they were going down the road just a little piece, and they passed this pretty wet spot on the side of the road, and Mr. Green stopped and pulled off side of the road, and Geraldine was like, "What in the world is Daddy doing?" And she kept watching, looked for a moment, and there was a small alligator in the wet spot there. And Mr. Green was catching the alligator. He caught the alligator, took his belt, and put it around the mouth of the alligator and put him in the trunk. And turned around and carried him back home. I do not know why. I have no idea why. Geraldine doesn't know why. I mean, who would catch an alligator? Carried him home, put him in a little pond they had. But in that moment, Mr. Green was bigger than life. I mean, it's not every day that you catch an alligator and put him in your trunk. You hear what I'm saying? I mean, not everybody does that. Last Sunday and this Sunday, for some reason, God has been bigger than life in our worship services. And last Sunday, after the service, it was just one of those services that were just unbelievable. And all day long was that way. And Sunday night, a little after midnight, Sunday night, I'd been asleep for a while. A little after midnight, Sunday night, the Lord woke me up and carry me to a scripture and begin to show me some things and just lay it out before me. And I knew that's what I was going to share this week. And then all week long, I've watched it. I've just watched what has happened all week long. And this morning, I want to talk with you about when God is bigger than life. You see, there are times, there are moments when God just seems to break through. He just seems to go beyond. There are these times. In fact, the Bible is full of them. One of them, you remember, he appeared to Solomon as the Shekinah glory in the temple. And in Abraham's mind, it was this time when they were one-on-one, just him one-on-one with God. With David, it was when he was facing Goliath. And I mean, the list just goes on and on. With Moses, it was when he was on the mountaintop. And so sometimes it happens in the congregation. Sometimes it's personal or individual. But the issue is, why does God do that? Why does God break in and at times, at special moments, why does he break in and he's bigger than life? Why does he do that? And I want to talk about that for just a few moments this morning. But one of the occasions where that is the one of the most fantastical stories about that in the entire Bible is found in the New Testament. It's found in Matthew chapter 17. And I want us to talk about that for a few minutes because there's some things from it that you and I need to understand in our walk with God. We've been talking for the last 2 weeks and are talking this morning about our walk with God. And this morning, I want to talk about our walk with God when it relates to the move of God, when God moves, when God shows up. And one of those fantastical stories is in Matthew, the 17th chapter. Now, let me set it up just for a little bit. This happens near the end of Christ's time on earth. He is not far from the cross. We don't know exactly, but he is within months, maybe even weeks of the cross. He's been talking with them about who he is. In fact, just before the story that we're going to read about here in just a few moments, just before this is when Peter had that revelation where it says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said to him, "Flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you. God revealed that to you. The Spirit of God revealed that to you." And it was just, and so that is the atmosphere. That is what's going on. And there comes this moment when Jesus takes Peter and James and John, and he takes them up on a mountain. And this story is just, I mean, it's just unbelievable. Let me just rehearse it in 30 seconds. Let me just give you the overview because we're going to talk about it in detail. They're up there. Jesus goes a little ways off and begins to pray. And the three of them are there praying. And Jesus begins to glow. No, I mean, literally glow. like in the dark glow. He begins to, the word there is transfigured, and I'll talk about that in just a few moments. And I mean, it is just overwhelming. And then Elijah and Moses show up. Hello. Can somebody say move of God? Right? I mean, listen, if you go to prayer and you start glowing and Moses and Elijah show up, right? That's a move of God. By any definition, that's a move of God. In fact, you read the story a little bit further and it says that the cloud even covered them, started to cover them in just a few moments. Peter said, do we need to build a shelter? And then the voice of God spoke, and the next thing you know, they're hiding their face from the Lord, and just this incredible, incredible moment. And it ends. When it ends, it says they look up and they see only Jesus. And I want us to talk about that just for a few moments this morning of actually what happened. I want us to walk through, because what I see, what the Lord began to show me last Sunday night that I knew I needed to share with us this morning, is there are two reactions and one revelation. In this story, there are two reactions and one revelation, and it's important that you and I understand both of them and get a grasp on both of what's going on there. First of all, what happens here, remember now, Jesus, it says, was transfigured. That's a fascinating word. It's the word where we get our word, it's metamorphos. We get our word metamorphosis. The idea of being transfigured, the story there that says he literally, his face shone like the sun. His clothes became white like light. And he was transfigured. The word is metamorphosis, but it's fascinating because in this particular case, the word is not changing into another. The word transfigure here is not changing into another. It is revealing what is. Some of you are there. When you understand, when Jesus was transfigured, he was not being changed into another. What was happening and what was going on in that on that mountain was not that Jesus was not becoming another. What was happening was that life, for that moment, life could not hold him. Life could not contain him. He was bigger than life, and it began to show out through his skin and through his eyes. He was bigger than, and even his clothes began to glow, began to radiate. He was bigger than life in that moment. They began to see not another. They began to see Paul. They began to see him as he really is. They began to see past life and begin to see him bigger than life. And they, as they looked in, man, I mean, this thing is fascinating. It is overwhelming to them. He shone through like he really was. In fact, I love what it says here. His face shone like the sun. His clothes were as white. In fact, Moses had something similar happen to him just from being in the presence of God. Jesus had it happen to him because he was God, but Moses had it happen to him just because he was in the presence of God. There was this sense of which it began to envelop him as well. And by all accounts, this is a moment in the New Testament of the Shekinah glory of the Old Testament breaking into the New Testament. This is that moment because we see instances of this, the glory of God leading the people of Israel, coming down on the Ark of the Covenant. There are many instances of it being on the mountaintop with Moses. And this is a New Testament example of that Shekinah glory breaking into the New Testament. Why? Because that's who God is. He's bigger than life. And sometimes God just pulls the veil back a little bit and lets us see that he's bigger than life. Bigger than life. What is fascinating here is the two reactions. One of the reactions is, watch what Peter does here. Peter says, it's good for us to be here. Peter's like, hey, this is a good thing. And Peter says, let us build for you three shelters. Now, what was in Peter's mind at that moment is the Feast of the Tabernacles. Remember, Peter's a Jew, and what was in his mind at the moment was the Feast of the Tabernacle, because at the Feast of the Tabernacles, they would build small shelters, and they would dwell in them. And the Feast of the Tabernacle was an fantastic eight-day event of being in the presence of God and understanding and realizing who was it. Peter's reaction is, let's build a tabernacle. Oh man, let's keep this thing going. Let's keep moving in this. Let's build, I don't want a one of it. Let's make an eight-day revival out of this. You understand what he's saying? You see, he says, let's continue this thing. Just pray. In fact, Barnes and Wycliffe and several others said that's exactly what Peter had in mind. He's, listen, one shot is not enough. Let's continue this. Let's put up a shelter. Let's not 1 day, 2 days. Let's make an 8 day event out of this. Let's make an 8 day revival out of this. Peter in his mind, Peter desired it to continue. Peter desired for it to come on, keep on. Peter desired for it to keep happening. That's one of the reactions that he had. The second reaction we find two verses later. And it is almost exactly the opposite. The second reaction, after the glory cloud began to envelop them, began to come down and upon them and surround them, the second reaction, it says they were terrified. The word says they were terrified. Now, listen to me. The word fear, like the word love in our language, you know, the word love can mean a lot of things. The word fear means a lot of things, particularly in the Bible. And one of those things, in fact, we talked a little bit about this on Wednesday night. One of the things the fear means is this awe and awesomeness, but that's not the word here. The word here is afraid. They were, this wasn't, oh God, you're awesome and you're magnificent. This was, oh God. What is going on here? They were terrified. They were in fear. And it says that they hid their face from him. Now here's something that is fascinating about this that just that fascinates me is that, listen to me, that there are two reactions when God moves. When God moves in our life, it seems like there are two natural reactions. One of those reactions is to hold on. You understand what I'm saying? One of those reactions is to hold on to it, to try to hold to it, to try to prolong it, to try to make it last, to try to make it happen. Peter wanted, as a natural response, Peter wanted to build a shelter and make this thing last. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He wanted to make this thing last. This is not enough. And what's fascinating about it is what God did. When Peter wanted to build a shelter, God said, "This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased." This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Do you see what he's saying? He's saying to Peter, "You're missing the point. The point is not the shining and the glowing. The point is not even the transfiguring. That's not the point. The point is, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. See him." Do you understand what I'm saying to you this morning? In Pentecost, I think in all worshipers of Christ, but especially in Pentecost, listen to me, we can sometimes find ourselves here. Are you okay? My goodness, you're quiet this morning. And we can sometimes we want it to happen, you understand? But listen to me. When experiencing the move of God, many people want to recreate it or hold on to it or force it or to make it to happen. But listen to me. A move of God is genuine. It is authentic. It is real. You cannot sing it up, shout it up, dance it up, run it up. You cannot. It's real when it's the move of God. And there is this tendency to sometimes don't want to hold, I just want to grasp it, I just want to hold on to it. And sometimes that will cause us to go in areas and in directions that and what we do is we miss the point. The point of it all was not to keep having that experience. The point of it was to leave that experience in knowing God was bigger than life. Wow. That was the point of it. Now, on the opposite side of this, over here on the other side of this, is the opposite reaction to that. Because the opposite thing happens as well. In fact, it's fascinating because it's the same guys. Right? It's the same guys. And the second reaction is to hide. While on the one hand, they want, man, God, bring it on. You know, God, bring it on. Bring your glory and come and show yourself and let's just stay here. Let's make an 8-day revival out of it. On the other side over here is not God bring it on, but it's, oh, God, let's don't do this anymore. There was this sense of, I mean, they were terrified. They were afraid. God was moving and it was beyond their understanding. They didn't understand what they saw. They didn't understand what they were hearing. They didn't understand. The word there is terrified. They were afraid. And being in fear, they hid. They hid their faces. They hid themselves from it. And what is fascinating about that is that there's this reaction, this natural reaction to the move of God, to be afraid and to hide from it. Listen to me. While you cannot hold the move of God, you should not hide from the move of God. You should neither hold nor hide from the move of God. The move of God is something to react to, but the move of God is, it is pure and it is innocent and it is undefiled. And you should not be afraid when God moves. Now, I felt so strongly impressed this morning to offer a caution here. I heard this last Sunday night. All week long, I kept hearing it over and over. It became just so refined for me. And I want to help you see this morning. Because here's what, and the reason this is important is this. I believe God's going to continue to move. God's going to continue to move in your life. God's going to continue to move in this church. And when God moves, we need to have a grasp of this whole idea and of how we react. Because listen, if you get caught up in the reaction, you miss the revelation. If you get caught up in either one of the reactions, you miss the revelation. You don't see God. If I get caught up in holding to it, I miss the fact that it's God, and I've seen it. I've seen it over and over again. And listen, I was born and raised to Pentecost. First person I ever heard speak in tongues was my mama when I was in the womb. I'm telling you, I'm born and bred into this. You understand what I'm saying? And I love Pentecost. But I've seen Pentecostals miss God by trying to hang on to the move. They want that experience, that song sung at that pitch by that person, done in that way. They want to go to that place and hear that speaker speak. And God's saying, it ain't about that. It's behold Jesus. See him. On the other hand, at the same time, also sometimes, listen to me, individuals, and this is more an individual thing, but sometimes you get afraid. When God moves, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't fit in your box. It doesn't fit in your world. And listen to me, we got to understand it. And the two things that God spoke into my heart about this, we need to understand this. Listen to me. And let me make it clear. These were disciples. These were disciples. Listen, they are us. Are you hearing what I'm talking about? This is not somebody. I'm talking to us right here this morning in this. They are us. These were the disciples. They had been with Jesus for 3 years. Listen, if they had lived, slept, breathed, they had been with him for 3 solid years. If they can mess this up, I can mess this up. And two things the Lord told me to caution us about this morning. And then I want to show you the revelation. One is this. Understand who you are. Understand who you are. See, listen to me. Because of our history, because of our experience, because of our personalities, because of what we've seen, because of past teaching, all of us have a tendency to be one of these. This is us. The problem is we're like the little dog in the mirror that's going around on Facebook. It's him. He don't know it's him. It's him. You and I have to understand what is, when God moves, I need to know who I Who am I and how do I naturally react? And the reason that is absolutely crucial is, listen to me, is because holders can try to hold on to an experience and miss God. They try to hold on to a feeling and miss God. Can I make it practical? Can I make it real? If you came here this morning, last week, let me use me as an example. Last week, I danced like I've probably only danced 3 or 4 times in my life. I mean, if you were here, I danced all across the front. I danced on the altar. I danced on the stage. I danced all around the sanctuary. I danced like I've never danced before. But listen to me. If I had come this morning holding on to that same experience, I would have missed God. Because this morning, for some reason, this morning all I could do was lay before Him and weep. All I could do, 2 or 3 times I tried to stand up and I had to just bow back down. All I could do was lay before Him and weep. And then when I finally did get it together, I got back up here. What did I do? I laid before Him and wept. Holders, listen to me. If you are an individual this morning and it is your tendency to hold on to the move of God, can I tell you, it's not about a person, place, or thing. It is about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It's about seeing Him and seeing Him alone. Seeing Him. I've watched it, and in tragedy, I've watched it. I've watched people run and run after this experience and that experience and the other experience, and my heart just breaks because they're trying to hold on to an experience. They're trying to recreate a feeling, and they're missing God. On the other hand, listen to me, on the other hand, if you're a hider, you need to know that too. You need to know if it is your natural tendency to hide and to pull back, because listen to me, hiders will miss God with Him standing right there in front of them. Oh, I didn't get much amens there. God's moving and everybody knows God's moving except you. You're hiding. You're afraid. Do you get what I'm saying this morning? Hiders can miss God. Listen to me. They miss God because they have to understand and define Him. And when they can't understand and define Him, they hide from Him. Wow. Sometimes God moves in my life in ways I just simply cannot define and cannot understand. And I'll never be able to put it in a box. I am melancholy by personality, and I want to be able to put everything in a box and a list and check it off and have it done. You can't do that with God. In fact, if you can, you have a very small God. In fact, the whole definition of God moving is about Him breaking through life, breaking through all of those boxes and checklists and breaking through that. And listen to me, if you're a hider, you need to know this about yourself, because God can be moving in ways in your life and you not even know it because you've got your hands in front. And while the holders are saying, God, bring this on, you're saying, God, don't do that again. Don't do that again. Now, me and you's good, but don't go there again. And I'm telling you, when God moves in your life, it is absolutely essential that you understand who you naturally are, that you not end up there. Holders need to understand that it's my tendency to gravitate to that feeling and that experience, and there's nothing wrong with the feeling and the experience. Last week was just absolutely phenomenal, but if I hold on to that, I'll miss God. Hiders, by the same token, hiders have a feeling and an experience that makes them fearful and nervous, and they want to back away from it. So the first caution is this, that you've got to understand who you are. Listen to me, if you're a holder, and you don't understand who you are, you can end up offering strange fire like the sons of Aaron. Yeah, you can, You say, no, Pastor, I'm not ever going there. Listen to me. If you chase an experience or a feeling or a personality, you can end up offering up strange fire. In fact, the actual word there for strange fire, you know what the word is? Unauthorized. I see a lot of stuff going on, and it ain't authorized. It ain't authorized, but it'll draw a crowd. Man, it'll draw a crowd, and they'll shout, and they'll yell. Listen, there's a lot of stuff that's not authorized. And so if you're a holder, you need to know that, because I'm not going there. I am not going to a place with unauthorized strange worship to the Lord. On the other hand, listen to me, on the other hand, the other caution is just as listen, on the other hand, if you're a hider, if you're not careful, you will dismiss the authentic. You'll dismiss it as nothing. You just dismiss it as nothing. Remember Michael in the Old Testament? David's worship was real. It was authentic. It was out of the box. It was off the chain. But she dismissed it. And if you're a hider, you can dismiss something, oh, dare I say it, as just emotion. And the danger with dismissing it as just emotion is this. You can dismiss it as just emotion long enough that you think any emotion is not God. Listen to me. Let me define that for you. Let me help you grasp that. Just because it's emotional does not mean it's God. And just because it's emotional does not mean it's not God. The emotion has very little to do with it at all. Last Sunday morning, for some reason, when I saw Danielle singing about freedom, and I thought of the 7 years that she has been through and the months that she spent in the bed and the wheelchair, for some reason, that the emotion that I had was to dance before the Lord with all of my might. But the emotion had little to do with it. I saw God. I seen what God was doing in her life. This morning, for some reason, when I stood there, for some reason, when I saw us before the throne, in fact, that's why it registered so to me when Danielle came over. That's what I'd seen. I just had to bow and just weep. But I'm not going to come here next week looking for either the dance or the cry. I'm going to come here looking for God. And so while the one caution is we need to know who we are, the second caution is this: we need to be understanding of who others are. We need to be understanding of who the others are. You understand what I'm saying to you this morning? You know what holders want you to know? You know what people who tend to be holders want you to know? Holders want you to know that they are not fanatics. Are you hearing what I'm telling you this morning? They are not fanatics. They are just desperate for God. They just want God. I know they get carried away. I know sometimes they get emotional. I know sometimes it gets uncomfortable. But for the most part, I'm not saying there aren't fanatics, but I'm telling you, for the most part, they're not fanatics. They're just desperate for God. I need Him more. I need Him in my life. I need Him to move. And you know what hiders want you to know? Hiders want you to know that they are not afraid of God. They don't fear God. They don't even fear the move of God. They just want to know that it's God. They just want to know it's God. They're not afraid of God. Now, you freak them out sometimes. Right? Holders freak out hiders. Right? And hiders frustrate holders. They do. Hiders look over there. Holders look over there and say they just don't. They just afraid of God. They don't want God. And hiders stand over here and they look at holders and they say they're just. It's just emotion. It's just fanatical. When the reality is, you know what the reality is? The reality is neither one of those. In fact, this is not even reality. The reality is this, that hiders and holders really are much closer together than you would ever imagine. They are both trying to explain a move of God that is bigger and grander and outside of life, and they're just both trying to make some sense of it. So can we remove the labels? Can we remove the labels and just worship God and magnify Him and understand who we are and understand who each other is and just let God be God? Because that's what it was all about in the first place. Look at verse 5. This is my son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. And then it ends up with, and they lifted their eyes and they saw only Jesus. See, here's what I believe. I believe God's going to continue to move. I believe God's going to continue to move on the scene. And the only way to really, there are two reactions, but there's only one revelation. And the revelation is of Jesus Christ, King of kings and Lord of lords, bigger than life. You know what the point of the move of God is? The point of the move of God is for me to leave that move and walk into life knowing that my God is bigger than life. That I might walk victoriously in it, and that I might share that with others. Because I got to tell you something. You're going to bump into a lot of people this week that life is beating their brains out. In fact, you may be here this morning and life may be beating your brains out. And when God moves in your life, whether it's a prophetic word or whether it's a dynamic, powerful worship service, the point that God is trying to make is, I'm bigger than life. I'm bigger than life. See me in it. See me in it. And see what I'm doing. So don't get caught up in the reaction. You'll miss the revelation. The revelation is that He is Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. When God moves in your life, or God moves in your life in order to show you that He is bigger than life, so when God moves, look and listen to Him. Amen? I don't know about you, but for me, I've been in ministry for 29 years, soon be 30 years, and I've been in Pentecost all my life. And I have tried to understand this. You know what I'm saying? People and reality. And this Sunday night at 2:30 in the morning, the Holy Spirit took me to this scripture and said, Glenn, here it is. And He just laid it out before me. And the end of it all, what you and I need to remember is this. The point of God moving in my life is to show me that He's bigger than my life. That I can then tell others who need a God that's bigger than their life. Amen? So this morning, I want to encourage you. Listen, if you try to hold on, you'll miss God. If you try to hide, you'll miss God. What God wants this morning, He wants to reveal Himself to you in a way that you know that He is bigger than life. God is bigger than life. Say it with me. God is bigger than life. Amen. He's bigger than life. And when He moves, life can't contain Him. And we see that He is indeed bigger than life. So this morning, what I want to ask you to do, How do you respond to a message like this? The only way to respond to a message like this is to ask God to reveal himself to you. And then ask the Holy Spirit to not get caught up in the reaction, but to walk in the revelation of that. I don't want to be reactionary. I want to be revolutionary. And to be revolutionary, I got to have a revelation that God is bigger than life. Amen? Amen. So here's what I want to do this morning. I want to invite you to come to this altar. By coming, it's an act, it's a step. Sometimes we have to do something in the physical. It's a step that says, God, I want you to reveal yourself to me. I want to see you like I've never seen before. Now listen to me, that's a dangerous prayer. If you want to live all out for God, you got to pray it. And then you got to ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, help me not to get caught up in the reaction, but to live in the revelation of who he is, because he is bigger than life. Amen? Amen. I want you to get up and come this morning. Just come and stand around the altar. And begin to just pray. Just begin to just ask him. This is between you and him this morning. God, I want you to reveal yourself to me. Lord, I ask you to come this morning. Reveal yourself to us. Reveal yourself to us this morning, God. God, we want to see you like we've never seen you before. We want to behold you like we've never beheld you before. We want you to move in our midst like you've never moved before. God, we want you to break out of life. Break beyond life, God. Break beyond our reactions, God. Beyond holding and hiding. And help us, Lord, to see you for who you are. To get a glimpse of who you are. Lord, break through this morning. Reveal yourself to us, God. Reveal yourself to us in the workplace. God, there are some individuals, Lord, that are facing some workplace situations that are just crushing them. Lord, reveal yourself in the workplace. Lord, reveal yourself this morning in the marriage, God. There's some marriages this morning, God, that need you to just move. Reveal yourself in the marriage this morning, God. Break past it, God. Reveal yourself in teenagers' lives this morning, God. There's some teenagers that are here this morning, God. They see all kinds of stuff in the world, but they hadn't seen you, God. Let them see. Reveal yourself to them, God. God, reveal yourself in finances, God. Reveal yourself in finances, God. Those that are obeying you and honoring you, God. Lord, reveal yourself in mighty and powerful ways, God. And then, Holy Spirit, would you help us to not get caught up in the reaction? Would you help us to see the revelation of it? Because the power is not in the reaction. The power is in the revelation that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that you live in us. That you, oh God, are bigger than our lives and bigger than life. This morning, oh God, by your Holy Spirit, can you help us to walk in the power of that, in the revelation of that, God? Help us this morning to walk in it, God. Because you are bigger than life. Thank you, God. And right now, Lord, in every person's life here this morning, Lord, I ask for two specific things. You know how they can see you. And I pray that you reveal yourself to them in a way, Lord, that they can see you. And you know, Holy Spirit, who they are. So I ask, Lord, you sweep aside our natural tendency that we can see the true revelation of who you are in our lives, God. That we might not only walk in it, but that we might share it to others. Because, God, you are bigger than life. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. Listen to me this morning. God's bigger than life. He's going to move in your life and show himself bigger than life. Don't get caught up in the reaction. See the revelation. Look in his face. See him for who he is, and you'll know that he is bigger than life. Amen? Amen. Till I see you Wednesday night, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift his countenance up upon you and give you peace. Go in the blessings of the Lord. God bless you. We love you. Hug a couple of folks next and tell them you love them this morning.